Prescott, WW, Colcord. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, January 16, 1905. To Elders Prescott and Colcord, Washington. Dear brethren, one night we seemed to be in a council meeting, and one of acknowledged authority was telling us that now is our time to press to the front in Washington. A decided testimony must be borne to the people in the national capital, and this work must not rest upon a few. Those who engage in this work must exert themselves to the utmost of their ability to proclaim the truth with clearness and energy. Yet they must not forget that it is the power of God alone that can convert the heart, and that it is only the power of God that can hold the four winds, that they shall not blow until the servants of God are sealed in their foreheads. A most important work is to be done in Washington, and I inquire whether you do not need the help of those who in years past have stood prominently for religious liberty. Can it not be arranged for Elder Jones to work with you for a time in Washington, and for someone to take his place in Battle Creek? Elder Jones can help you. It may do him a world of good to have a part in this work now. When plans were being laid for him to go to Battle Creek, I was instructed that it would not be very long before many strong Bible expositors would have to act a part in Washington. This I told Brother Jones, and he said he would be in Battle Creek for 1 year only, and then, if someone would take his place in Battle Creek, he would be free to go elsewhere. Do all you can to encourage him and other strong men to unite with you in proclaiming the truth in Washington. I do not think that anything should stand in the way of your making the most of the present interest. I do not think that brethren Haskell and Butler could now be spared from the field where they are at work. In that field, there is much to be done that requires continuous labor, and it must not be neglected or delayed. The truth must be proclaimed with power where they are at work. As we work with all our might, our trust must be in God. Sooner or later, Sunday laws will be passed. But there is much for God's servants to do to warn the people. This work has been greatly retarded by their having to wait and stand against the devisings of Satan, which have been striving to find a place in our work. We are years behind. God calls upon His workers to humble themselves before Him and put away every sin. He calls upon them to hold fast to the word, "It is written," and put away all infidelity. We are to humble ourselves before the Lord, and at the same time we are to be as firm as a rock to principle. God's law is to be vindicated by the obedience of heart and mind and by strong arguments. Who will now strive to meet the demands of God by complete transformation of character? For a long time, I have carried a heavy burden regarding the work to be done in Washington. Not one in 1,000 of the people there knows what the Bible says about the Sabbath. The instruction given me is that the 10 Commandments should be printed in plain letters in a prominent place in the review. Had these commandments been obeyed, the wickedness now seen in our world would never have existed. Appeal to the people to study the special directions given to Israel regarding the sacredness of the law, as recorded in Exodus chapter 20. In awful grandeur, the Creator of heaven and earth came down and proclaimed His law to the people. And then, that it might not be forgotten or corrupted, He wrote it with His own finger upon tables of stone. And yet religious teachers are venturing to make of no effect that holy law. Put these decided statements of the law on the first page of the review, and let them remain there for a time, speaking to the people. Then let someone search out all the scriptures where the Sabbath is spoken of, such as the 58th of Isaiah, point out the wonderful promises made to those who obey God's law. Get together the plain scriptures bearing on the Sabbath question and put them in tract form. Make it clear and plain that no change has been made by God in his day of rest. The 58th and the 51st chapters of Isaiah should be doing their important work in the hearts of the people. Now is the time when these scriptures should be brought to the front. Now is the time when every worker must draw nigh to God, by faith laying hold of the hand of infinite power. Now is the time when all should have the sanctification of the Holy Spirit.
Encourage also the study of the 52nd, the 53rd, and the 54th chapters of Isaiah. These prophecies regarding Christ's work are to be a help and a blessing to his people. The time has come when the liberty of the Church of Christ is endangered. Let it be a time also when true missionary work shall be done in public ministry and in house-to-house labor. The oppression of Christ's church would apparently be a great victory for the side of the transgressors of the Sabbath, and would cause rejoicing amongst evildoers. But nothing should discourage us. God has victory for his people. Let sanctified ability be brought into the work of proclaiming the truth for this time. If the forces of the enemy gain the victory now, it will be because the churches have neglected their God-given work. For years, the work has been before them, but many have been asleep. If Seventh-day Adventists will now arouse and do the work assigned them, the truth will be presented in our neglected cities in clear, distinct lines and in the power of the Spirit. When wholehearted work is done, the efficacy of the grace of Christ will be seen. The watchmen on the walls of Zion are to be wide awake, and they are to arouse others. God's people are to be so earnest and faithful in their work for him that all selfishness will be separated from their lives. His workers will then see eye to eye, and the arm of the Lord, the power of which was seen in the life of Christ, will be revealed. Decided changes will be made. Confidence will be restored, and there will be unity in the churches throughout our ranks. The Lord calls upon every believer to gird on the gospel armor. Those who have been weakening are now to stand firm. We are to be true to one another and to God. Fidelity is to mark all that we do. We are not to strive for the highest place, not to seek to be first. We are to see who can be the most accurate in representing to the world the truth for this time. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 17. Be strong in the Lord is the first charge, verse 10. In order to be strong, we must be united to Christ by living faith, depending on him who died for us and who estimates aright the value of the human soul. We are to put on Christ. His grace is to enable us to perform faithfully every duty. In the power of His might, we are to conquer every foe. It is our privilege and duty as children of God to grow in grace and in the strength of the experience that God is waiting to give every one who will use unselfishly the blessings bestowed, brightening with hope and courage the lives of those ready to die. Thus, we are to work out our own salvation. It is the duty of every soul to have spiritual strength to perform the duties given him. Constantly trusting in Christ to supply our needs, we are to go forward in the strength of his might, ever helping the weak. As we look to him for our orders and obey his commands, we shall be given wisdom to discern the wiles of the enemy. We shall see clearly the devices and the stratagems which he has prepared to deceive and ruin men and women. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Satan uses human agents in which to hide himself. He works through them to carry out his designs. He works also through evil spirits of a high order called principalities and powers, and specified as the rulers of the darkness of this world. He creates troubles to stir up the minds of unconverted church members. Because of their spiritual blindness, they do not see that it is Satan, working through human beings not subdued by the Holy Spirit, that is the cause of the trouble. Said Christ, "I sanctify myself." John 17, verse 19. That is, he held fast to divine grace, thus controlling his words and temper. His humanity must be perfect. He must be an example for every human being, that by following him, men and women may form perfect characters. He knew that he must watch and pray always, and that he must not utter a word which would give Satan opportunity to accuse him. Let church members now cultivate self-control so that Satan cannot work through them. Let each one be sure that his character building is according to the pattern given in Christ's character. Those who are suspicious and envious do great harm to themselves and grieve the Holy Spirit, for the attributes of the enemy are manifest in their spirit and their words. Such ones should be told that if they continue thus to serve Satan, they cannot be retained in the fellowship of the church, because others will be contaminated by their unchristlike words and spirit. There should be 100 workers where now there is but one. Wake up, my brethren and sisters, and dedicate yourselves to God, body, soul, and spirit. The captain of your salvation is saying, "Advance. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Thus he said to the fishermen in their boats. They obeyed the call, and under the Savior's guidance, did a great and good work. Those who today obey the call and who take the Savior as their example will have many souls as their reward. When all our ministers and physicians come into line, taking their stand under the blood-stained banner of Prince Emmanuel, we shall see an army of men and women going forth to work for Christ, speaking the word with holy boldness and power. Brethren and sisters, confess your sins to Christ, repent of them, and be converted. And then, with faith and much prayer and with Bible in hand, go forth among those who have never heard the message, teaching His word. Christ will be your support and sufficiency, and you will have success. Remind our people often of the work that may be done by the sale of our books and the distribution of tracts. Encourage them to sell the periodicals containing the message for this time.
Our large books can be sold in Washington and other cities in the East if the canvassers will take up the work courageously. Instruction has been given me that the important books containing the light that God has given regarding Satan's apostasy in heaven should be given a wide circulation just now, for through them the truth will reach many minds. Patriarchs and Prophets, Daniel and the Revelation, and Great Controversy are needed now as never before. They should be widely circulated because the truths they emphasize will open many blind eyes. When Patriarchs and Prophets was first issued, it was neglected for a book easy to sell and more profitable to the publishers. Many of our people have been blind to the importance of the very books that were most needed. Had tact and skill then been shown in the sale of these books, the Sunday Law Movement would not be where it is today. I am glad that the Lord has at Washington able men who can treat this Sunday movement as it should be treated. Let every minister, every evangelist, now put on the whole armor of God and work and watch and pray. Our church members also should humble their hearts before God and cry aloud and spare not. Oh, that the Lord would imbue the members of His church with a sense of the importance of the responsibility of being laborers together with Him.